Hey, thanks for staying with us. This is Corporate Talk with Charlie and Eva, and our topic today is recruiting talent in the workplace. So we were just talking about A players, but now we're going to be talking about other places to recruit really good, talented people. And our next guest is Colleen Cowles. She's an attorney, she's an author, a speaker, a teacher, and she's an advocate.
She's a warrior.
She is a warrior. Mm-hmm. And her passion and expertise are focused on minimizing the pain that families experience, improving outcomes for those suffering from substance use disorder. And she's an advocate for reform of the criminal justice system. And she is a big proponent of hiring people that have criminal records. And a lot of people that are addicts have criminal records, and we could be missing a huge pool of really good talent.
Yeah.
So we are excited to have you here, Colleen. Thanks for joining.
It's great to be here.
So, you know, let's jump right into it. So we know that addiction is really complicated, and we know that people that struggle with addiction can get criminal records, and then they get clean, and then they have a tough time getting work. But if I'm an employer and I am struggling to find good people, how can I be sure that when I'm hiring someone, if I decide to start looking in this direction, how can I be sure that the person that I'm looking at would be a good fit? Like, how do I start?
That's a great question, Eva. When I speak on this subject, the first question that I'm usually asked by employers is, are you crazy? Why would I want to subject myself to somebody with this type of a background? And I can relate, because I've as an employer, I have found myself dealing with employees with addiction issues. And I think probably most employers at this point, if it hasn't happened already, it probably will in the future. But the world has changed over the last, well, particularly the last 10 years, where the numbers are so great at this point that if we wipe out anybody with a criminal conviction, and even a felony, we're wiping out about a third of our potential employees. And the statistics are staggering. 8% of the population right now has a felony. If you're a black man, 33% have felonies.
Wow. Yeah.
So, but I think that in answer to your question, as far as how to, I'm certainly not suggesting that that all people with criminal records are the perfect employee, but
right.
The definitions of what is a felony have really changed. By their own admission, Presidents Obama, Bush, and Clinton, if they had been in the right jurisdiction, would be felons. So when we look at it, I know that if I had been arrested at the right time, and I'm a tax-paying, law-abiding citizen, but I could have a felony. Most people, about 98% of all people, could be felons at this point because of the enormous number of laws that we have, and particularly with the war on drugs and the way that it's been handled. So right now, 87% of all employers are doing background checks, and that's a good idea so that you know what's going on. But if in your job description, if you're announcing up front that you do background checks, you probably won't even get the inquiries from anyone with a criminal record because they've been beat up and they don't want to be rejected. So my message is just being open-minded. Because there are some tremendous talents out there of people that could really be enormous benefits to your organization. A lot of times they'll be longer-term employees because it's difficult for them to find other opportunities. Once they're hired, they can be incredibly appreciative and loyal because they are really grateful for having opportunities. And when we look at the potential for substance use, because so many of those people can really lose a lot if they end up using, at this point in their lives, they've got a lot to lose. So the incidence of drug use aren't greater than the general population as far as general drug use. And a lot of times you can actually get more for your money.
I believe
but
that.
It is important
I believe
to
that.
Look, yeah.
I believe that's true.
It is important to look at the background, though.
Of course. But also the person. But, you know, this made me angry when we met and we learned about this topic because I didn't have to learn about it, right? I know about it. But it wasn't on my radar. And there's a couple of things I just want to bring up. You know, we look at this as, or some might look at it as lending a helping hand, but that's not why we're hiring this person. We're hiring this person because of their value that they bring to the table, just like every other person.
Well, and I think that there is a big stereotype of what the type of person that's a felon. And mm-hmm. I like what you said about, you know, the presidents could have all been felons, you know, depending. And I think it's important to talk a little bit about what actually makes up a felony charge and how, as an employer, you can tell the difference between somebody that might be a serial criminal and then someone that has an addiction problem that has now subsequently taken care of it, but has a felony drug addiction on their record, but would be, like you said, a great employee and on top of it, a productive employee and a grateful employee for being given the opportunity.
Yeah. So I think one of the important things I think for all of us to be aware of is that treatment has changed over the years, and we know a lot more now about how to treat addiction and what causes it, actually. We've got medications now that will cut the overdose rates in half, and for those people on those medications, they can go back and lead normal lives through the appropriate treatment. And frankly, a lot of the stigma I really had to look at closely when I started looking at the treatments available, because if we've got medications that will allow people to live normal lives and to get past the horrible symptoms of someone in active addiction, then are we stigmatizing people and putting people behind bars because they didn't get the proper medical treatment? But
yes.
From an employer standpoint, it's also important to know that, because a lot of people who have, sorted past as far as felony convictions for drug possession, which can be it can look pretty ominous when you look at a criminal record, but those people truly can lead normal lives and be great employees. As far as what can be a felony, in one state, you can be an entrepreneur in the cannabis business, and in another state, for example, if you're arrested with a joint in Oklahoma, that's a felony. In Tennessee, if it's over half an ounce, that's a felony. Even in serious drug possession cases, in some jurisdictions, that'll get a person free treatment and no criminal charge, and another person will have a felony and do prison time. So there's incredible differences from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And then when you look at the criminal record, the prosecutors, just by nature of their jobs, are typically charging with anything that they can possibly charge with, because over 97% of cases now are settled by plea agreement, and it makes it easier for the prosecutor to say, well, we have all of these different charges, and so you better take the plea on this one and not take it to trial. But if an employer picks up that record and you look at a person who gets caught with a pill in their pocket and a small amount of marijuana, can have a conviction or at least a charge for paraphernalia. If they happen to be sitting in a car for operating a vehicle while under the influence, even if they weren't driving, for the possession of cannabis and then possession of a controlled substance. So you can have this laundry list of things for one very minor problem, but that's all going to show up on the record. So
no,
even if somebody has a If someone has a misdemeanor and they miss an appointment, they may end up with a bail jumping felony, and that just means that they didn't make an appointment with their probation officer. So it can look
out. There's a lot of details here.
You better never get convicted because you're going to miss stuff.
I'm going to miss stuff, but I'm not really advocating anything bad, okay? But I'm seeing this now. We have a real denial problem here, right? And the denial problem is it's probably the opposite. So the light turned red and I stopped. The guy in front of me made the green, so he's gone. I got pulled over, so I had maybe something in my pocket, as did he. He got
right.
So there's no difference between us other than I got arrested. Not that that's that's I should have, I guess. But the thing is, I think it's also the opposite, that if we get arrested, we kind of get the memo and we get on a program where that guy that made it through the light, it's not on his radar to stop.
Well, and it doesn't even address how many people are addicted to alcohol.
Yeah, it doesn't address alcohol. So
And we know that that's definitely a problem, as big a problem as the drug problem. It's just that the drugs now, you get a felony charge, and for alcohol, unless you're driving, but if you're not driving, there's no issue, but you've still got employees that are addicted.
Jeez. Yeah, it's a great
thing for employers, not only in finding this, using this great pool of employees, but the war on drugs has impacted us as employers in a lot of other ways too. Things like, I think most of your listeners are probably aware of not depositing over $10,000 in cash, because that can be seized, and even if it's under that, it can look like something is being hidden, watching family members who are dealing with addiction in the family is costing business a lot. So it's being aware of the impact on everyone, and once we're aware, there really are some huge opportunities. Because we do have this huge pool of according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, if you look at federal and state criminal records, as many as 100 million Americans have a criminal record. I'm not saying all of them would be great employees, but that's a huge pool of potential employees that could really contribute to your business.
Yeah, I agree. And we're leaving greatness on the table if we're not looking there.
You're right. We really are. And a lot of times you've got people that don't have records simply because they had the money to get out of stuff, right? I mean, to get out of convictions. And a lot of other people, just didn't have the kind of means to be able to get a good lawyer and get them off, So, we are missing out on
a lot of really great people. And, so you have a criminal record, Joe. Are you in a program now? Yeah. That's perfect to me, because I know that the guy's on a short leash, right? And I know that he's being honest, and this might be the greatest thing for both of us.
Well, and I'm going to play a little bit of a devil's advocate here, though, too, is that if I hear, having experienced people in addiction myself personally, when I hear that somebody's in a program, that's not long enough for me. And How do you get a comfort level? I know we talked about it. We touched on it a little bit, but how do you as an employer get a little bit of a comfort level around when is the appropriate time to hire somebody, or how do we make sure that they are taking their medication, or is there a way to do that? Or do we just take a little bit of a leap of faith by looking at the background and just saying, okay, this person looks like they just had a slip but overall, they're fairly stable.
I think looking at the background really is key. If there's violent crime there, particularly if it was recent, it depends on what the job description is, too, because depending on what the charge and what the conviction was, if that directly relates to something that could be an issue for your business, now that has to be considered. As far as the amount of time and the type of program that's difficult because we're discovering more and more that what we really need is a medical diagnosis, because a lot of times there's either self-medication for chronic pain or self-medication for other things. So we really need medical diagnosis prior to treatment. So often with addiction, we are treating it based on where we can find a bed or walking into a meeting. All of those things can be really good, but if they're not individualized to what the needs are of that individual person, that can be helpful or it cannot be. So as far as looking at what the risk factor is and whether somebody's a fit, the big thing is being able to have a conversation with them and finding out what the circumstances were, what they've done recently, how stable they are. So it goes back to a lot of the same types of things that you would use to judge any other employee.
Yep.
It's just, you know, trying to take that cloud away to have an open mind. And that can be tough. Because
yep.
there's a lot of fear for all of us as far as, like, you know, what can happen. Sometimes people with a criminal record may not interview very well either because they're a little afraid.
Yep, right. No, that's true.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be nerve-wracking.
Maybe we could help in that arena. But I want to give out your website, right, because you are a true warrior. And your website is SurviveYourChildsAddiction.com. Please go there, learn more about Attorney Coles, and also – you're also the founder of How the War on Drugs is a War on All of Us, because, you know, it does impact us all. We're all in this together. But one last thing that I wanted to bring up is, you know, the deck is stacked out there, right? The competition is tough in the job market at all levels. It's on us as individuals to present ourselves. So, you know, people with addictions and maybe criminal history, they have to go the extra yard in their resume and their presentation. They have to practice and rehearse, maybe list references on there to help them. They really got to come out strong if they want to make a dent in the job market themselves, I would think, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Well, Colleen.
One last thought for the employers. Mm-hmm. Also, there are some state and local rules as to what you can and cannot ask. And that's probably a topic for another conversation, but on the federal level, you can ask basically what you want. On the state level, depending on your jurisdiction, there are some restrictions as to when you can ask questions and what you can ask. So it's important to check those regulations.
And we would love to have you back to go over some of the statistics more and get a little deeper into this. So this has been great.
Well, Colleen, thank you so much for being here. This was really helpful and really informative. We really appreciate your expertise.
Yes.
Thanks for having me. It was a joy to talk to you.
Yeah,
and again,
care.
That was Colleen Coles. She's an attorney, author, speaker, teacher, and advocate. And you can learn more about Colleen and her work at SurviveYourChildsAddiction.com. This is Corporate Talk with Charlie and Eva, and we'll be right back.